Well, good morning. Morning, welcome. Glad you're here this morning. We are continuing our series from fear to faith. And you know, for me, going on this trip to Africa, it's like we're leaving tomorrow. And I've been realizing something more and more. As I've gotten older, there's this inverse relationship between age and travel. It's like the older you get, the harder it is to travel. Like now my joints are kind of creaky. And I told Kyle before service, you know, I'm excited, but there's a little feeling of like dread, all right? Because the first flight we take is from LA to Doha, Qatar. And that flight is almost 16 hours. Almost a 16 hour, so I'm like, oh my gosh. So I've been doing strategy. I've been preparing by not watching any movies, trying to stay away from movies because I plan to watch a lot of movies. But there's a little anxiousness about the flight. There's a little anxiousness, but I keep going back to, no, Lord, you called me to go on this trip. And so we're just going in faith. We're going in faith. And so today we're continuing this idea of going from fear to faith. Or being transformed from fear to faith. And we are actually going to look at a person today who you can actually see in the Bible, the before and the after. Before, it's a picture of fearfulness. And then after, there's an amazing picture of faith. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. I'm going to kind of start it off here to give you the picture of fearfulness. And right when I get into it, I think you're going to know the biblical character we're going to look at. Okay, so Luke 22. So this is talking about right after Jesus had been arrested and they're taking him to go to trial before the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. Okay, so they arrested him, that's Jesus, and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. Some people say, from historians, that Peter had some relationship with someone in the temple courts. And so that's why Peter was able to get in. And he's just hanging out right there amongst the temple guards, all right? A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, This man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. Galileans had a specific accent, so I'm sure Peter, as he was interacting, they could hear his Galilean accent. So they were calling him out. This guy was calling him out. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that look? Oh my gosh. Jesus, who you've been following, who you've been living with, who you've been in relationship with, who you've committed to being your rabbi, your Lord, who you've confessed you are the Christ. Peter's just denied Jesus three times, and Jesus looks at him. Man, talk about being pierced to the heart. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. As I said, Peter knew Jesus. He was living with Jesus, following Jesus for 3 years. He had heard all of Jesus' amazing teachings. He had gotten to experience and know Jesus' love for him, his heart for him. his character. And he had seen Jesus performed amazing, astonishing miracles, even raising people from the dead. And yet Peter, when confronted, says he doesn't even know him. What happened? One word, fear. Fear gripped Peter. It overtook him so that he turns his back on his Lord. He vehemently denies even knowing Jesus. If you were in that situation, what would you have done? Someone calling you out. Someone saying, you must have been with Jesus. What would you have done? In Romania, at the height of the communist persecution of Christians in that country, there was an underground church that was secretly meeting for worship. Suddenly, the doors bursted open. Three masked men come into their meeting gathering place, brandishing automatic weapons. They go to the front, people screaming, and they say this: if anyone is here and willing to renounce Jesus, you are free to leave. This is your one chance. You're willing to renounce Jesus, you could go right now. Slowly, a few people start standing up, leaving the place they were meeting. After everyone, the last person had left, they go to the doors, lock them, and bar them. And they go to the front of this gathering. People praying, huddled together, great fear. They proceed to take off their masks, lay down their guns, and they tell everyone, we've come because we want to commit our lives to Jesus. But we wanted to make sure we did it with true believers. What do you think you would have done? You were in that room. Seemingly your life is on the line. At least your physical life. This picture of Peter denying Jesus is a picture of fear. Fear can cause us to disobey. Fear can cause us to stay silent. Fear can cause us to turn our backs on the one who gave his life for us. This is a snapshot, an amazingly graphic, vivid picture of fear and how fear can affect us and really destroy our faith. But let's look at another picture. Let's look at a picture of what faith looks like. For that, we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, previous chapter in Acts chapter 3. God moves through this same Peter who has just denied Jesus. God moves through Peter and the other disciple, John. They're going to the temple and they run into this lame, crippled man begging at the side of the temple. Things happen, and they proceed to speak healing over this man. And this man, who had been crippled since birth for 40 years, gets up and is healed miraculously. After that, Peter gives this powerful message about Jesus and his resurrection and how they need to come to faith in him. And thousands of people come to Christ. The religious authorities, they have Peter and John thrown into jail for teaching about the resurrection, for teaching that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And it's at that point, Acts chapter 4, we pick up the story. Let's look, Acts chapter 4, verse 5. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. So this was a gathering of all the most powerful Jewish religious leaders. These were the big wigs. These were the elite of the elite Jewish leaders gathering together to hold court for Peter and John. And then verse 7, they brought in the two disciples, Peter and John, and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" They were saying, "By what power have you healed this man? What authority gives you the right to teach these heresies that you're teaching?" Now look how fearful, frightened Peter from the previous picture, look how he responds to them. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else.' God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." What has happened to Peter? What has taken place in Peter's life? He was fearful, he was cowering, he was denying he even knew Jesus to even the servant girl. And now here he is standing above the most powerful religious leaders in Jerusalem, and he's calling them out. And he's not backing down. And he's telling them, there's no other way, there's no other person, there's no other name by which you must be saved than Jesus who was raised from the dead. This is the same guy who couldn't even stand up to this insignificant slave girl. Here he is, boldly, with faith, challenging, confronting, speaking truth to the religious leaders. What's their reaction? Verse 13, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. Are you an ordinary person? Are you ordinary? You qualify for huge moves of God through you. No special training required. Just Jesus in your life and the Holy Spirit moving. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. These religious leaders, they were in a catch-22. They were in a bind. They were confused because on the one hand, there's this healed man, and it says he's right there standing in their midst. This guy that had been crippled for 40 years, they all knew him. He's been sitting day after day after day at the temple begging for a charity, for a handout. Here he is standing healed in their midst. And so they couldn't say this wasn't a real healing because they were fearful of the people. They knew the people had seen this, knew this guy. He was healed. He was standing in their midst. On the other hand, they did not want this teaching about Jesus to continue. So what do they do? Verse 18. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Basically, they tell Peter and John, stop it. You guys stop it. You guys better stop it or else. Think that's going to work? Think that's going to work on Peter after what he's done, what he's saying, how he's confronting them? The old Peter? Yes. But this new Peter, this new guy, this guy that's bold and full of faith, no way. No way. Listen to how Peter responds, verse 19. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. In chapter 5, and so basically they say, well, stop it, stop it. And then they let them go. And then they go back, they meet with their peeps, they meet with, you know, the community of faith, and everyone's cheering, they're shouting, they're victory dancing because all that God had done. And then in chapter 5, things happen, they get arrested again. And the religious leaders want to kill them. And this is how they respond. Peter responds back to them. We must obey God rather than men. We must. We have no other choice to obey God rather than men. Because of Peter and John's faith and courage, all the believers they're pumped up. They're encouraged. They're like, yes, yes. And they say, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord. And then it says the room they were filled was filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with faith and boldness, and they go out preaching all the more because of the courage and the faith of Peter and John. So what happened to Peter? He was fearful, frightened person. And he became a person that's full of faith and courage. Three things real quick. First, the religious leaders recognize it. Verse 13, it says, the religious leaders recognize them as having been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. I think this was a very interesting phrase, interesting observation. They had been with Jesus. So I thought, well, when Peter was denying he even knew Jesus, he had been with Jesus too, right? He had lived with Jesus. He had saw the miracles of Jesus. He had heard the teachings of Jesus. He had received the love of Jesus. He had been with Jesus then. So what was the difference now? You know the difference? Now, he had been and continued to experience the risen Jesus. Before, Even though they recognized Jesus, Peter recognized him. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed to you, Simon Bar-Jonah, but my Father who is in heaven. They recognized who Jesus was. But at that time, them knowing Jesus, he didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit and faith. But now, he knew the resurrected Jesus, the glorified Jesus, the Jesus who had conquered death, and that has made a way for every one of us. They knew that this earthly life is just a short time compared to the eternity that's promised in Jesus, demonstrated by his victory and resurrection on the cross. And they also knew this resurrected Jesus, who was raised in glory to the right hand of the Father and who released the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. They knew that Jesus now. They walked and talked and were filled with that Jesus now. It's not enough to know about Jesus. For believers, it's not enough even to have put your faith in Jesus. This Jesus. You have to walk with this resurrected Jesus. He was resurrected and he is alive today. And he has given you his Spirit. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. You have to live with Jesus. You have to walk with Jesus. You have to interact with Jesus. You have to follow Jesus every day. If you're not interacting or talking with Jesus every day, you have really little chance of living the life that he has for you. That's why Jesus came and died, so we can have relationship with him. You know, a lot of people, they want formulas. We always want formulas. That's religion. That's death. But we want formulas. Just tell me what to do. Just give me the formula and I'll do it. The problem with that, when you have a formula, you don't even need Jesus around anymore. You could just do it on your own, and we want that. We want that. We want to be able to just do it on our own. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to have control. That's why we pray certain things. We go, okay, all I have to do is pray like that, and then God answers. And then we try to pray like that, and he doesn't actually, what's wrong? It's not working. God, what's up with you? And he said, I don't want that. I want us walking together side by side every day. When you encounter things, I want you to talk to me and ask me, and I want to share with you. And we live life as partners, like we're married, because we're union and we're one, and we're walking together in life, through life, in relationship. That's the life, and that's the relationship, and that's the walk that Peter knew. And that's what Jesus wants for you. None of this going to church, clocking in your time, reading your Bible a little bit, clocking in your time. I did my good deed. I did my religious thing. I'm set to go. No. Especially where society is today and where society is headed, where, if you haven't noticed by now, the United States is becoming more and more of a secularized nation. You see it all around. It's going to take walking together with the Lord, interacting, learning to hear his voice and recognize his voice and responding to his instructions and directions. It's going to take that level of relationship and faith and trust and love if we want to live victoriously in the future. John 17:3, this is eternal life. This is important. He's saying, Jesus talking, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the Father. Knowing the Father, that's eternal life. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. That's what eternal life's about. Knowing the Father. Not just intellectually knowing, not just knowing about, but knowing intimately, personally. That's what Christianity is about. Have to develop two-way communication with God, where you pray to him and talk to him, and where you hear him speak to you through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. That's what first thing that transformed Peter. Second thing, Peter had predetermined, I believe he had predetermined to obey God no matter what. Verse 19 and 20, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? Talking to the religious leaders. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. And in chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. Because of fear, Peter had failed his Lord three times. He denied even knowing him. But he was a new man. He knew the risen Jesus. And I'm sure he played out that scenario over and over and over. If I was ever in that situation again, I'm not going to do that again. Because I know my risen Lord now. And he had played out all kinds of scenarios. There was persecution going on all over. So he had played it out in his mind. What happens if I'm in this situation? If I'm in this situation, I'm going to be like this. If I'm in this situation, if I'm going to be like this. If I'm ever brought before religious leaders, I'm not going to cower. I'm going to speak boldly. Because if they kill me, I don't care. I gain. Because I gain more of the risen Lord who I've seen alive from the dead. And he was prepared. He was mentally prepared, imagining all these scenarios that he might be put in, and he was committed to obeying. I will not deny Jesus. I will be prepared to die if need be. Have you ever thought about your predetermined responses to different scenarios? Have you ever kind of pictured or tried to imagine yourself in different scenarios? The Bible talks about the mark of the beast. End times, there's going to be the mark of the beast. Some kind of mark, forehead, wrist. And without it, you cannot buy or sell goods. You cannot do it. I've thought about that. I've thought about the mark of the beast, what it might be like, this and this and this. I feel like we had a dry run. We had a little preview with the vaccinations because they were mandated. If you didn't get it, lose your job, can't do this, can't go out here, can't do this, da-da-da-da-da-da. For me, that was a little wake-up call. That was a little preview. And it's like, whoa, okay, this gives us a little taste of what it might be like if we are the people that will be alive in the end times, which we very well could be. So what happens if the government globally, the WHO, whoever, the economic powers, what happens if they say, we have so much fraud, there's so much, you know, hacking into people's stuff, we're going to have to find a permanent way, a secure way of being able to identify people for banking transactions, everything. I know. We'll put this mark on people that's on them so that we'll be secure. Great idea. They already have the technology for it. What will you do? I've already thought about it. And, you know, we never know how we're going to act when we're in intercessors, but at least I've thought about it. I prepared to go, I am not taking that thing. You could throw me in a camp. You could do this. You could do that to me. I am not taking that. Jesus means too much to me. My eternal life is secure. How about if they threaten to take your house? Take your life. What about if they threaten to take your life, the life of your loved ones, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids? Dale, Mindy, Lauren, Megan, Matt, sorry. I've thought about it. Sorry. As much as I love you, there is no way I'm going to deny Jesus, even if it means they're going to kill you. Peter had pre-prepared to obey Jesus no matter what. What about torture? That one's the one that's like, oof. I don't know why. I don't know why. Maybe I was watching too many kung fu movies when I was growing up, right? The bamboo shoots under the fingernails. That's just, right? The beginning of last December, we were blessed to host Pastor L. Pastor L was a pastor from another country where they experienced a lot of Christian persecution. I felt just overwhelmingly blessed that the Lord orchestrated so he could come and speak at our church. And part of the reason why he came to our church is we were in talking with him with a group, and we were asking him from his perspective, coming from outside the U.S., what do you see coming for the United States? And we felt like, oh man, he has a message. He has a message for the believers here in the United States. Just to give you a little refresher, Pastor L, in his country, he had been arrested 13 times, imprisoned, and tortured 6 times. So that was about, I kind of calculated, it was about probably 12 to 15 years of his life in prison, tortured. I looked back at my notes. And I looked back at my notes of talking with him and when he spoke. And one of the questions was, how do we in the U.S. prepare for what you think is coming ahead for us and the world? This is what he said. You have to settle the life or death issue now. What that means is you have to predetermine, if push comes to shove, am I going to die for Jesus? Am I going to die for my faith? He said that. He said, you have to settle that issue in your heart, the life or death issue. Predetermining that you will suffer and you're willing to die for Jesus. And then he says, there's these end times tests. And the end times know that the sheep and the goats will be separated. That's from Matthew. Be prepared to help those in need. You know, when things get tough, we could become very self-centered, selfish. He said, be prepared to help people need. He said, no, you will be betrayed by people very close to you, some family members. He said, count the cost of following Jesus. And then he said, make up your mind to pay the price. Pastor L was here, and people from back home, and people we even were connected with the police and the government, they were telling him, don't come back, it's too dangerous. So he has been staying in the U.S. About a month ago, I heard he felt like the Lord was calling him, go back to his country. So he did. He went back to his country. I've heard a report that he made it back safely. He's back in his country. But he knows full well what the consequences of making this decision might be. But he felt God calling him to go back. So it's like, okay, God, you calling me to do this? I am obeying you no matter what. I'm there. And so Peter did that. Peter predetermined to obey Jesus no matter what. And finally, just in closing, Peter learned how to partner with the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, before Peter preached, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Peter was not operating in his own strength, but he was operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I mentioned earlier, look what happened, Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, this is when they're gathered, they were released, they were gathered with all their people. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit came, filled them all, and gave them boldness. The only way to learn how to walk with the Holy Spirit and partner with him, trial and error. Because you're trying to learn to hear and know the promptings and the voice of the Holy Spirit. The only way you could learn that is if you step out and try it. And you try it, and then sometimes you go, okay, yeah, I think that was the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you try it and you fail. It's like, okay, I guess that wasn't the Holy Spirit, or maybe it was, maybe it was. I don't know, got to discern. And so the challenge in this of partnering with the Holy Spirit is whenever, if you get an idea that you think this might be from God, do it. Do it. Even if you fall flat, God, your Father, will be thrilled because he will see your heart. I want to be a person who lives by faith. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. What walking by sight means, you just living by your own senses, your own five senses, your own rationality, your own understanding of things. But it says, no, we don't live that way. The priority is to walk by faith, walk by the Spirit. So many stories in the Bible, they were crazy, right? We're going to take Jericho. How are we going to do it? What's the military strategy for do that? Well, you're going to put the band up in front. The band is going to lead around. They're going to toot their horns. They're going to lead us around. Imagine Joshua getting that from the Lord. He goes back to his generals. What's the plan, Joshua? What's the military strategy? We're going to put the band in front and walk around the building. What happens? They walked by faith, not by sight. And God miraculously brings down the walls of Jericho. Hundreds of stories like that in the Bible. That's how we're meant to live. That's what walking with a resurrected Jesus means. That's what having the Holy Spirit in our lives is about, where he's impacting us on a daily basis.
from fear to faith. Who is God calling you to be? Who do you want to be? What life do you want? Who's your Lord? I'm just going to close. Let's pray. God, we're probably only living less than 5% of who you called us to be, who you made us to be. The power and the ability and the all the blessings that we have access to through the Holy Spirit. So often, Lord, the world, the enemy, our own fearfulness keeps us in a small, tiny little box. But you want to break that open, Lord. And it starts with knowing you, our resurrected Lord. Knowing you every single day, interacting with you, talking with you, asking you for guidance, asking you for insight, obeying and stepping out. Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, would you just move on us? Would you just move on us? We just desperately need you, Lord. We desperately need you. And I know you've given us everything we need. So break all our hang-ups and all our lies and misconceptions and fears, God. And help us to start with just baby steps of faith, of just seeking to hear your voice and just in small ways responding every day in some way to what you're sharing with us. Thank you, God. There's no other name under heaven and earth by which we must be saved. You are the only true God, and we owe you everything that we have in our lives. So we bless you and thank you. Thank you for who you are and that you love us and you call us your sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. We praise you and we love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.